The reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12, page 968 in the Pew Bibles. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
If we could have the PowerPoint. Thank you. We're looking, obviously, at the Beatitudes this morning. Famous sayings. And they've inspired all sorts of creative, classical and contemporary works. So, for example, we have Simon and Garfunkel. Or I wouldn't normally, honest, I wouldn't normally promote The Life of Brian, but... Well, whether you're a cheesemaker or not, are you feeling blessed this morning? Are you feeling blessed by God's love, blessed by being part of a caring church community, blessed that your material needs are being met, there's a roof over your head tonight, there will be food on the table today? Are you feeling blessed? Maybe not all of you feel particularly blessed. Maybe some of you have a persistent nagging health issue, or you've fallen out with family and friends, or you've lost your job, or those bank statements come increasingly coloured in red. Maybe you don't feel so particularly blessed. To be blessed means to be favoured by God. Rather more than just being happy, it's the highest type of well-being that we can have as humans. And it's not dependent on our health, our wealth, our status, our power. But it really is quite a strange list that Jesus gives in Matthew 5 that we heard read, of those who are favoured by God, the poor in spirit, those who mourn, etc. And if we looked at Luke's equivalent passage, it's even more surprising, because he says, "Blessed are the poor, the hungry, those who cry, those who are rejected." And then he goes on to list those who are out of favour. He says, "Woe to the rich, the well-fed, those who laugh, those who are well-spoken of." Compared to the most of the world, we are all rich and well-fed. And I dare say most of us laugh from time to time, and we think it an honour to be well-spoken of. So what hope is there for us? Doesn't sound like good news at all, does it? Let's back up a bit. Did Jesus intend to give this list as a complete list of qualities that we need in order to be blessed by God? And is it the case that you just won't qualify if you can't tick at least one of these four? Otherwise, woe betide you. And is it that if you manage to score 4 out of 4 on that list, then, well, quadruple woe to you. Fortunately, I don't think that was what Jesus was saying at all. So we need to look at the setting in which he spoke the Beatitudes. If you've got your Bibles open, I think it was page 968. I'm going to read just back the previous three verses to where Pauline started, where we normally put the Beatitudes at the beginning of Matthew 5. Remember, the chapter breaks weren't there originally. So, Matthew 4:23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed. And he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down, as a good rabbi would, to teach. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. So Jesus sets off on this preaching, healing tour of Galilee, and crowds flocked to him from a huge area, from Syria in the north, Judea around Jerusalem down in the south. And it says he preaches the good news of the kingdom to them. The good news of the kingdom, what's that? Well, Matthew's already outlined that back in chapter 3 when he says Jesus preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." The good news is that God's kingdom is at hand. It's available to all who repent, who turn from their ways, and who enter the kingdom of God through Jesus. And the crowds come to him, and they do just that. And all manner of healings accompany their coming to Jesus and coming into his kingdom. So with a large crowd in front of him, Jesus starts teaching them about, well, what does life in the kingdom look like now you're in? And that's the Sermon on the Mount, which is the next three chapters of Matthew's Gospel. Jesus has already demonstrated the power of the kingdom in changing lives. Lots of these people had been healed of all sorts of things. And now he engages in a sort of show-and-tell explanation of how the kingdom is open to all, irrespective of wealth, status, or power. And he uses those sat in front of him, those for whom the kingdom has just come broken into their lives in a big way, as they've been healed of all sorts of diseases. He uses these people as visual aids of how the least expected are welcome into the kingdom of God. He says, take Reuben over here. Reuben's spiritually impoverished. He doesn't read his Bible. He doesn't pray every day. He doesn't even go to church. But the kingdom of God is for him. That's how come he was just healed. Or Rebecca over there. She's grieving over the breakdown of her marriage, which was actually caused by her own foolishness. But she will be comforted because the kingdom of God is for her. Or Simona. She wouldn't say boo to a goose. She's such low self-esteem. She thinks she deserves getting trampled on. But she will inherit the earth, for the kingdom of God is for her. Or Joseph. He so badly wants to stay off the booze, but he just can't help it. Well, he'll get his heart's desire, because the kingdom of God is for him. Jesus is saying that the people in front of him are just precisely the kind of people that the kingdom of God is for. And he's come to announce the free availability of the kingdom. Everyone can enter through him. God's rule, God's righteousness will come to everyone who enters. And that includes you, and it includes me. And it includes lots of other folk who we will meet this week. Blessed are all who take hold of the kingdom of God through Jesus, whoever they are. But woe to those who hold on to what the world offers and refuse to put God first. We're in a series of looking at the image of God in Jesus. So what do we see of the image of God through Jesus declaring the Beatitudes? We see that God is for everyone. He has no favourites. His kingdom is for all who would come to the Father through him. So the challenge I want to leave you with this week is whenever you pass someone who you wouldn't spend the time of day with, someone who you wouldn't even say hello or acknowledge, say to yourself, the kingdom of God is for them. The kingdom of God is for them. It's for all. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads.